Hey, Margaret.
Yeah, Anton?
You know what people don't talk about enough?
What?
How Villa and Simon's first real kiss is initiated by Wilhelm. Welcome to People Don't Talk About Young Royals. I'm Anton. My pronouns are he, they.
And I'm Margaret. My pronouns are they, them.
And we're people here to discuss the show our friends are sick of hearing us talk about.
If that sounds like you, stick around. If your friend sent you this podcast out of a desperate attempt to get you to watch Young Royals, take this as a sign.
Go watch Young Royals, then come back to this podcast.
Anton, what are we talking about today?
Today, we will be providing a summary of the events of Young Royals Season 1, Episode 2. We're finally here, y'all.
I'm so excited. All right, disclaimer. We are not a substitute for watching the actual show. These summaries serve to give us a baseline for later discussions about what happened in the show. Everything we will be describing is portrayed infinitely better on screen, so if you haven't seen Young Royals and any of what we say here sounds interesting, we advise you to pause the stream and go watch the show. Then come back to this episode of the podcast if you want our personal breakdown of events. With that said, let's get into Season 1, Episode 2.
We begin in the dining room of Forest Ridge during lunch. The boys of the house, plus Simon, are slamming their fists on the table, shouting, "Nils on the table! Nils on the table!" over and over. Meanwhile, the girls of Felice's house are doing the same in their dining room, but for Felice's roommate, Madison. When both rooms quiet down, we cut back and forth between these two scenes, in which both of them reveal to their housemates that, not to be too crass about it, Madison gave Nils a blowjob at the party the previous night. When both are asked how the experience was, Madison calls it okay, I guess, while Nils gives it a 9 out of 10. When asked if they're together now, Maddie says hell no and that she was just bored. Nils says the opposite just before August cuts him off, telling his friend that he said an F. August, who has been circling the table, broadly asks if anyone has anything to share, if anyone else has had their dick sucked. Vincent teasingly mimes blowing someone across the table at Nils. No one says anything, and most everyone seems to wonder if this post-party tradition is over for today. But August is sure there must be someone else who needs to stand on the table. He stops behind Wilhelm's chair and lingers on him briefly before moving on. Then he calls Villa out by name. He reveals to the house that Villa disappeared from yesterday's party and posits that he might have left with the girl, possibly Felice. Wilhelm laughs and firmly denies this. August starts the on-the-table chant for Villa to drown out his nose. Villa is smiling all the while, but from my perspective, his eyes give away that he is somewhere between annoyed and confused. The chanting continues until the housemaster comes in with lunch and demands that they all calm down. Wilhelm sighs in relief as the pressure stops being on him. Just before the scene ends, he throws a small glance across the table at Simon.
All right, so the next scene is, we start with the title card, and in the background is Hlaerska, the waterfall, the statue. And then we see Felice, Stella, and Frederica. They're all laying on the steps in front of Hlaerska. Felice is taking selfies while Stella and Frederica are kind of like laying on top of each other. Felice looks over up the stairs at Willa, and Willa is wearing the iconic dark red overshirt with the sunglasses. You know the one I'm talking about, Anton. The one it took me 20 minutes to get past. I'm not ashamed. Felice looks over again to see Willa stand up and start walking to class. Willa walks around the girls. He kind of looks like he's almost going to fall into the water, the way he has to like walk around them. I didn't notice that until this time, but he, like, has to walk on the very outside of the steps, and I genuinely was scared he was going to fall in, even though I've seen the episode about 100 times. I was like, what if this time he falls in? He doesn't, though. Dry king. Felice jumps up and asks Will if he's heading to class. Meanwhile, Stella and Frederica are left to be like, we're also going to that same class, and follow after Felice. Felice asks Willa if he enjoyed the party last Friday, and he said, yeah, it was fun, and asks if Felice enjoyed it. August then runs up to Felice and puts his arm around her as Felice asks Willa if he is going to the horror movie night that her house is putting on. And Willis says yes, and August responds with, "The real question is if I'll be there, so you have someone to cuddle with when it gets scary." And Willow makes a quick exit saying, "See you in class," and walks off. And Felice pushes August's arm off her shoulder and as he says, "When can I take you out to dinner?" And Felice responds with, "What, to the pizza place in Bergstad?" I don't think I pronounced that right, but we're just going to roll with it because I don't know if I can physically pronounce it correctly.
Bjarstad?
Sure. Yeah. Let's go with that. I don't know if my mouth can make that sound.
Or Bjarstad. Maybe? Ah, fuck. Okay, well, bear with us, Swedish listeners. We are Americans.
Yeah, Swedes in the audience, just ignore that.
Please and thank you.
Please be nice, we're American. And then August says, "No, I'll fly you to Verbier." And Felice pushes his arm off his off her shoulder again, and they walk away, and August is kind of left in the dust. The girls then talk about August's pursuit slash asking Felice out on the way to class, with Frederica saying she thinks it's romantic, whereas Stella says, "Romantic, yeah, if you want to be with someone who thinks he owns you." Frederica seems to be under the impression that love can change people.
And then afterwards, Stella kind of, which something is important for a little bit of context of my scene, is Stella kind of just walks ahead and just leaves Felice and Frederica in the dust. And they just kind of look at each other and be like, "What the fuck's your problem?" Cut to the class that they're going to, where Wilhelm sits down at an empty two-person desk before math class at a table next to Sarah. Felice enters the class with one of her friends, who we will eventually learn is named Frederica, and as Margaret already said, identifies her as Frederica. And the two are complaining about their other friend Stella's perceived overreaction in the previous scene. Sarah smiles and says hi to Felice, who either does not hear her or purposely ignores her, as the popular girl chooses the desk in front of Sarah, sitting with her roommate Maddie. Sarah pretends not to be hurt. Simon enters class and sits with Sarah, who gives him a tight but pleased smile. Simon asks how Sarah is doing, and she said she's fine. Wilhelm is looking at Simon from the moment he sits down, smiling wanly to himself. Wilhelm is about to engage with Simon when their math teacher, Mr. Englund, enters the class, and everyone must stand at attention behind their chairs and wish him a good morning. Mr. Englund then directs them to all take their seats again. The instructor starts handing back tests, softly answering Wilhelm's confusion by telling him that he missed this test, but that he can make it up at a later date, quote, whenever it suits him. Villa politely thanks him. Mr. Englund moves on, and Simon smiles and thanks him as he hands back his test. And Villa continues sneaking glances over at Simon as casually as possible, fixing his hair at one point as if to be more inconspicuous. Simon, meanwhile, asks Sarah what she got on the test. She tells him she got B+, and Mr. Englund says loud enough for the whole class to hear that Simon must learn not to be so nervous, as his calculations are often correct, but his answers are not. Big mood. A resigned Simon thanks the teacher politely. Simon remarks to Sarah that he only ever got A's on tests at their previous school. Sarah points out that the average was lower at Marieberg, as Walter excitedly shares with Henry that he got an A-. Wilhelm leans over to Simon and finally speaks to him, informing the other boy that his housemates pay for private tutoring prior to exams. They spent the previous weekend reviewing the material with Mr. Englund. A bewildered Simon states that he reviews with teachers during, quote, workies, but Wilhelm reveals that Mr. Englund is more lenient with students who pay to study with him. Simon takes this as well as he can, as the two are once again prevented from continuing conversation by their teacher, who gives them the next direction. We have a close-up profile of Simon deep in thought as a voiceover of Simon plays later in the day. Simon is asking Mr. Englund about private tutoring and how he would go about organizing it. Mr. Englund calls him into his room and agrees that private tutoring could help him improve his grades. He asks Simon if he discussed this matter with his parents, and Simon nods, which, if unless we it was a scene we didn't see, was a lie. Spoiler alert, it was a lie. Mr. England tells him to come back later to schedule their sessions. And he ends by saying that the school will send Simon's family an invoice.
So now we're in the stables, and Sarah is carrying bags to each stall while Felice is struggling with Rousseau. Felice doesn't know what is wrong, and Sarah offers to take him after cuddling his face and puts him in the stall. Felice takes off her helmet and looks distressed and says, "Do you know how expensive Rousseau was? Dad will be so disappointed that I can't handle him." Sarah responds with, "You have to stop pretending that you're not scared. He can feel it, even if you try not to be scared. Accept that you're scared and start from scratch. You may enjoy it again, and he will enjoy it too." Felice responds with, "How come you're so good with horses?" To which Sarah says, "I've always understood horses better than people." And Felice says, "In your case, it seems like a superpower. You never seem to care what people think or feel or worry about having lots of friends." Which Sarah kind of sadly responds, "I would like to have friends." And Felice looks sad for a second, but then asks Sarah to take a picture with her and Rousseau. And Felice is honestly scared to get close to Rousseau, but eventually the picture is taken and it gets Felice's stamp of approval.
Near dusk, Simon is rowing alone in Hilarska's lake near the docks. Wilhelm and the other and two other boys are taking another rowboat in, but the other two tell Villa they can manage the boat by themselves. Wilhelm reaches out a hand to potentially help, but this becomes half-hearted as all of his attention shifts to Simon, who seems more than a bit lost and out of his element. Villa smiles to himself before approaching the edge of the dock and yelling out that Simon's rowing looks good. Simon tentatively thanks him, clearly not feeling confident. As Villa tells him not to worry about balance and that the skill will come with time, we see August pass the two boys carrying the boat, heading down the same pier. Wilhelm gives Simon some advice for how to conserve energy and is about to keep going when he is interrupted by August, who teases Wilhelm that he hasn't forgotten everything he knows about rowing. Wilhelm stops talking to Simon mid-sentence and turns to August. He neutrally answers August with a no. With barely a split second of decision, Villa haltingly bids Simon farewell with a what is, in my opinion, the straightest of friendly goodbyes, the bro tap, otherwise known as the clap on the shoulder. Villa, am I wrong?
No, you're not. But when you texted me, I forgot I got the bro tap. I had no idea what you were talking about until I realized what scene you were talking about.
Other people might have a different name for it, but that's always what I've heard it be called.
I just didn't know where in the episode you were talking about until I was like, oh, at the docks. And so then this watch around for this episode, I was like, bro tap.
It's iconic. I love it so much. Okay, anyways.
It is iconic.
Wilhelm collects two paddles as August tells Socialist Boy that he could be a great cox, which is coxswain for anyone who doesn't know about boat things. As they need to be small. Simon doesn't know how to take this, especially as Villa appears to laugh at this joke. August tells Wilhelm to come with him, and after a small moment of pause and giving Simon the barest smile, Wilhelm follows behind August back up the pier without question. Simon watches Villa walk away for a second before turning away, clenching his jaw in notable frustration.
All right, so now Simon is walking into his room to find Rosh and Ayub already in his room gaming. They ask where he's been, and he said, "Sorry, I had rowing practice." They proceed to make fun of him for rowing, Rosh saying it's not a sport, and then going on to say football is a sport. Simon says it's something new, something fresh, and then he says he only does it because it's extra credit for his grades. When his friends ask, like, why do you care about that, he mentions he doesn't want to stay in their small town forever, and Rosh and Ayub get noticeably quiet after that. Ayub awkwardly says there's pizza if he wants some, while Rosh steals his piece of pizza. And then Rosh asks if he is going to her game tomorrow, and Simon says yes.
Cut to the next morning in front of Hilarska, where August is outside doing jumping push-ups with an intense focus. I would like listeners to know, I had to look up what that move is called. I searched at least two or three different things before I figured out what generally
burpee.
Or burpees. Yeah, I am. I know all you have is the photo I pushed on Instagram of my face, but just trust me, audience, when I tell you I am not athletic in the slightest. We watch August run down and up a staircase and then do another jumping push-up. By the end of this short scene, he has definitely broken a sweat. We then catch a brief glimpse of Sarah calmly and delightedly riding Rousseau inside the outdoor corral. Finally, we catch up with Villa in his room. He is lying sideways in bed in his underwear, looking at his phone and searching for Simon's Instagram page. He follows the public page without hesitation, taps on the most recent post, starts scrolling back through Simon's feed as he takes a deep breath and sighs. He keeps going backwards through Simon's feed until he then backtracks to a selfie of Simon and Sarah in a red glow. Just as he keeps scrolling, his dorm room bursts open, startling Villa. It is August who holds up a hand and looks away, apologizing with a huge grin. He claims he didn't see anything. August says he's been looking for him as it's time for the morning workout. It becomes obvious that he believes he caught Wilhelm masturbating. I am glad that I got this scene instead of you.
Yeah, me too.
If it hasn't been clear from all of our previous episodes, I am the Allo one in this relationship. In this friendship.
I don't know if you realize how uncomfortable I was talking about Felice masturbating in the last one.
I think I...
And it's not because I'm against masturbating. If you do it, good for you. I'm happy for you. It's just so awkward for me to talk about.
It's almost worse that he wasn't. And that August is the one who brought it up.
Yeah.
But that's a conversation for a different day.
It sure is.
And we figure this out because August says that there's no time for jerking off. Wilhelm buries his face before softly insisting that he wasn't doing that. August takes Wilhelm's phone without asking and looks down at it. Wilhelm looks worried that Simon's Insta is still up, but his phone has presumably locked already, as August doesn't amend his assumption of what Wilhelm was doing. He advises him not to use the school Wi-Fi, as that could be embarrassing. Wilhelm abruptly receives a video call, but August is still in possession of his phone and accepts the call before turning the screen away from Villa and grinning at the person on the other end. We hear Crown Prince Eric greet his friend and second cousin. Eric asks August how things are. August says they're fine, and we see Wilhelm start to get noticeably angry. August sits next to Villa on his bed as he recounts to Eric that he's been trying to get Villa to work out, as he'll need to in order to make the rowing team. Villa says August's name and makes a grab for his phone, but August turns to keep it from him. Wilhelm tries to get it back again as Eric checks in about Villa with August. August tells him that if Eric wants honesty, he thinks that Villa doesn't have the same drive as Eric and himself, and that he's a bit lazy. With Villa right next to him.
Yeah.
Wilhelm demands that August let him speak to his brother, as August lies and tells Eric that he found Wilhelm asleep. He playfully shows Villa as the prince starts biting his nails, and August teases Wilhelm that he will change his lack of ambition. August dismisses himself and says it was good to see Eric before throwing the phone behind his back to Villa. Before he leaves, he tells Villa to make sure he's done jerking off by 6 a.m. tomorrow. Villa gives him the tiniest fake smile, and it's finally enough to get him to leave. The door closes behind August as Eric greets Wilhelm. Villa tirelessly returns the greeting, rubbing his eyes. Even as Eric is asking Wilhelm how he is, Wilhelm groans and complains that August is getting on his nerves. He asks Eric if he is always, quote-unquote, like this. Eric admits that August has always been intense, but Wilhelm has to accept that. Wilhelm takes issue with the word intense, calling August fucking hysterical, insisting that no one cares about the things that August seems to. Eric tells Villa that August has had a hard time, that Hilarishka is his life. He reminds Villa that August's mother sent him to the school after his father committed suicide, a factoid that Villa does not remember. Just then, a whistle sounds outside Villa's window, and he gets up to look out to where the members of Forest Ridge, or the members of the rowing team, are gathering outside. for the morning workout. He distractedly tells Eric that he knew August's father was dead, but Vila cuts himself off as Simon, dressed in workout clothes, enters his field of vision. Wilhelm absentmindedly completes his thought, confirming that he didn't know that August's father took his own life. Eric suggests that maybe Vila was too young to have been told, which Vila scoffs at. Vila watches all of the Forest Ridge boys head off as Simon takes stock of himself at the back, questioning his life choices before Simon reluctantly joins them in the run. Vila immediately sets his phone down on his desk behind him before starting to get dressed, and he hypothesizes to Eric that he might not have known about August's father because someone forgot to tell him, quote, as usual. He asks if he and Eric can talk later, as he's late for the morning workout. Apparently, he's too lazy. He promises to call Eric after the workout. Eric says, of course, and Vila hangs up before shoving on a hooded sweatshirt while looking back at the window. Down below, Vila rushes up to catch up to the runners. He runs through the back and stays by Simon briefly so they can both smile and recognize the other is there. Wilhelm then runs to where August leads the pack. August smiles smugly and teases Vila that it's nice to be outside. Vila says it's probably for the best.
All right, so now the whole team is doing planks while all of them are basically dying, and August is yelling at them about their form. Once the planks are over, August gets up right away while the rest of the team stays lying down. And Willow flashes a smile at Simon from where he is laying across from him as August walks over to the picnic table that's nearby. Simon gets up to talk to August and says, the money for the booze, to which August replies with, sorry, I've completely forgotten. And Simon responds with, it's okay, but I've spent a lot of money. And August kind of smugly says, send me a text with the amount and I'll transfer it. Willow rolls over to watch this interaction between Simon and August.
Cut to August walking down the third year's hallway in the dorms, offering a good morning to a fellow housemate coming out of his own room. August opens his room at the end of the hall and leaves the door open as he walks to his desk, removes his watch, and meticulously lays it down. He moves away from his desk to his sink and opens his mirror/cupboard to pull out a pill bottle. He shakes out the contents of the bottle, only to realize that he only has two of them left. His mood immediately changes to one of panic. He takes one of them by drinking from the faucet before leaning over the bathroom sink, deeply troubled. Cut to him rushing to knock on his friend Vincent's door. He does not find Vincent where he checks first, or even second, but he finds Vincent in the third room that he checks. Vincent comes out into the hall and asks what's up. August simply asks if Vincent can get him some more. Vincent reacts with surprise at the fact that August has depleted his supply so quickly, asking how much August takes. August doesn't answer and asks again if Vincent can get him some or not. Vincent says he can't, as he's changed psychiatrists several times already. August tells him that he has nothing left. They are interrupted by someone opening their door, which August shuts up. Once the other student is out of earshot, August agitatedly explains that he ordered some of the pills himself 4 weeks ago, but believes they're stuck in customs. Vincent is at a loss. August insists that Vincent knows how important this year is for him, and he needs to be in top form. Vincent says to calm down, go to the school counselor, get an assessment. His supply can't keep up with August's apparent demand. August looks dubious, calling the counselor a, quote, sandal-wearing socialist. He says he doesn't even have ADHD, so won't possibly work.
All right, so now August is sitting across the table from the school psychologist. Boris is his name. Boris is lighting a candle. And Boris asks if he'd like something to drink. August says, sure, and Boris starts pouring him water. August says, I think I have ADHD. And Boris asks why he thinks that, to which August only responds with, I have trouble concentrating. Boris then says, any specific reason why you find it so hard to focus? August says, no, you know, sometimes my mind just spinning. I'm sure you know what I mean. Boris then says, right, do you have trouble sleeping? Yes. Is your heart racing? Yes. Boom, boom, boom. Yes, exactly. And dizziness? August sighs and nods. Headaches? Massive weight on your chest? August grimaces and nods. You see, August, all of those are only symptoms of stress, and stress is, unfortunately, very common here at school, particularly in the final year. August argues that it's not just stress. Do look up your symptoms for the condition that you are trying to get meds for. Do a quick Google search. Quick Google search.
It's like
that is textbook anxiety.
It's so fucking funny.
It's because Boris catches them on it in a second.
Like, we called him August the Clueless, but my God.
Literally. All right. Boris asks, then what is it? To which August replies, isn't it obvious? I can barely sit still. He gestures at his knee, which he just started bouncing. August insists that he wants an assessment. Boris agrees that they can do that. That won't be a problem. And August says, I would like to have it done now. To which Boris tells him that an assessment takes several weeks, and we also need to do in-depth interviews with people who know you, people who have known you since childhood, like your parents. August gets notably frustrated at this and says, okay, I don't think you understand what I'm trying to say. I need an assessment. This week at the latest. My family is very important to this school. My results are very important to this school. If it gets out that you have been unwilling, to which Boris cuts him off and says, hang on, August. I said I would do an assessment, but these things take several weeks. It's a long process. You can't avoid that. That's all the time we have today. August gets up to storm out, and Boris says, just so you know, if you ever need to talk to anyone, I'm always here. August sarcastically says, thanks for nothing, then struggles to open the door. And can I just say, of course he plays the my family is rich and important card.
I mean, he wouldn't be August if he didn't.
God damn it. That doesn't even apply here. And he still played it.
He always will. Anyways, minimal commentary. It's what future episodes are for, but.
I know, but I get upset. I know.
That was a fair comment to make. Anyways, cut to Hilarious students studying at round tables close to the lockers near the music room. At one table is Felice, Sarah, Maddie, and Frederica, and at the other, Simon and Wilhelm. Felice seems caught between being distracted by her phone or being distracted by looking over to the other table and staring in Wilhelm's general direction before one of her friends shows her their ring, and she pays attention to them instead. Wilhelm sneaks his own secret glance over at Simon, who does not break focus. In the background, August, Vincent, and Nils enter the room, and August has already set his sights on pulling up a chair to Wilhelm and Simon's table. He leans over the back of the chair, and Wilhelm offers an obligatory greeting. As August grins, Simon finally looks up. August muses about how the best thing about rowing is that it brings people together, and that he thinks that's beautiful. Simon dimly smiles at August's obvious bullshit, glancing over at Wilhelm in recognition of August's veiled insult. August keeps musing how class and ethnicity become irrelevant when everyone has the same opportunities. August asks Simon if he agrees, and as Simon starts gathering his things, he warily responds with, sure. He informs Villa that he is going to the library. August studies the exchange between Simon and Villa with mild concern as Villa clarifies that he will see it Simon at practice later, right? And Simon reveals he can't be there tonight. August criticizes Simon, telling him that he can't skip practice if he wants to make the team, and that he's letting his teammates down. Simon accepts this, simply stating that he can't tonight. Sarah announces to her table that she can't concentrate here. She gets up too and joins her brother. Felice calls after her to wait, and both Simon and Sarah stop by the exit. Felice invites Sarah to the horror movie night this Friday at the Manor House. She hastily adds Simon to her invitation, concluding with a broad grin that I read as at least a little fake. Sarah accepts with a wan smile. As they leave, Wilhelm offers Felice an approving smile. She plays with her hair and offers him a genuine smile in return, calling into question whether Wilhelm's approval was her intent for offering the invite in the first place. Wilhelm's smile soon falls again as he is stuck at a table with August and his friends who come to join him. August tells Felice she is too kind, looking out for the school freaks. Maddie tells August, fuck you, in plain English. But August keeps going, warning Felice to, quote, be careful in case it rubs off. Felice defends Sarah, insisting she isn't a freak, and that despite her diagnosis, she's the only authentic person at Hlyshka. August questions Felice about the particulars of Sarah's diagnosis, and she reveals Sarah's Asperger's and ADHD as we linger on August's recognition of this second disorder.
Okay, I have a question. I'm 99% sure I'm right, but I want to know if you agree with me. After, when Felice invites Sarah and Simon, somebody kind of like snort laughs. That's August, right?
It has to be.
Because it's at the same time that Wilhelm smiles, but Wilhelm is a darling angel who can do no wrong, and I don't think he would laugh at that.
No, because he smiles approvingly, too.
Right. So it's got to be August, right? Or Nils or Vincent.
Yeah. I didn't actually catch that, but yeah, I'm fairly certain.
Okay. That's what I thought as well.
Yeah. It wouldn't be Wilhelm, because it does not align with what his face afterwards.
Right. And it also doesn't align with him.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, 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 definitely. Yeah.
Darling angel who I love.
That was something Margaret wrote in the script. I would like everyone to know that.
Yeah, the script, I'm not even laughing at that. I'm writing at what I wrote next in the script. But in the script, I did write, I think it was August who laughs because of what he says after and because he's a douche. And Willa is a darling angel who I love and can do no wrong.
Mm-hmm. And then,
however, what I immediately follow it up by is free feet shot as the camera pans up to Willa texting Simon. Which isn't wrong.
I've never dwelled on the fact they start at his feet, okay?
I hadn't either until okay. Last night. When I was doing this at 11 p.m. and I was like, huh, toes. Anyways. Wilhelm texts Simon, hi, why aren't you coming to rowing practice? He goes to try to start work, but when Simon responds, he quickly stops to read the text, friends got a game, I promise I'd go, tag along if you dare. To which he responds, August will freak out if I leave. Simon responds, I get it, you're too scared. Very flirty.
I just want to quickly note, like, you say like he tries, Willa tries to start work, like, he is tapping his leg relentlessly and like, And playing with his, like, I think it's a pencil, or it might even be a pen. Like, he's
waiting for that response.
He sent a single text to this boy and is spiraling.
Yes.
I just want that to be emphasized.
August suddenly opens Willa's door without knocking again. And asks if Willa is coming to practice. Willa responds that he doesn't think he can because he doesn't feel well. To which August asks if he can get him anything, and Willa says no, he's just going to be going to bed early. August explains that to Willa that if he doesn't come to practice, he can't just put him on the team, and Willa pretends to care and understand, and August tells him to rest up and get his fighting spirit back. Willa takes a few breaths, starts to write out a text to Simon, deletes it all, tilts his head back, and sighs kind of exasperatedly. Exasperated? Yeah, sure.
That's correct.
Sure. Oh, hell yeah. And then takes a few more breaths and types out, I'll be there, and sends it.
Quick shout out to the fake sore throat that Villa mimes. It gets me every time.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It is pretty good. I forgot to put it in.
It's almost a guaranteed, like, laugh thing from me, like almost out, like almost always out loud. I'm like,
yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay. Cut to Wilhelm frantically sneaking away from Hilderska in a jacket and scarf and hustling down the road next to the road to the bus stop. I will say this now from this episode is what I imagine Villa in almost constantly, like other than like his school uniform.
Yeah.
Villa steps onto a bus and greets the driver. A woman and a little boy look over at each other in amusement and disbelief at the sight of the prince. Villa pulls out what is presumably his MasterCard black card. I'm just guessing because that sounds like a rich person thing. but the driver apologizes and says they don't take cards. Meanwhile, the little boy whispers something in the woman's ear. Wilhelm asks if he can use his phone to pay, and the driver firmly tells him that he needs to download the app like everyone else. A soft chittering laughter is heard from one or two passengers as an embarrassed Wilhelm starts to locate the app. Cut to Simon waiting outside of a gas station, or petrol station for our British listeners. I firmly decided to use American British in this summary, and I apologize.
Your British friend is rubbing off on you too much.
No, well, the thing is, it's like I now see the British English and then swerve to American English because it feels dishonest. Like it would be, I know it would sound weird to a lot of British people probably hearing an American use British English slang.
What if we did for a whole episode for one of our bonus content ones?
Well, I'm specifically thinking like in the literal English subtitles, they don't say reviewing in that classroom scene between in math class. They say revising, which is the British term.
That's true.
So, what? I don't know why I made that little disclaimer, but in case anyone was wondering, that was a deliberate choice on my part because I think about these things way too much. But Simon's waiting outside of a gas station, and he turns to see Wilhelm approach. Wilhelm says hi, and Simon offers a hi back before they both ask, "How are you?" simultaneously. I think it gets me every time. I'm sorry.
It's
I decided
really cute.
To appreciate that for a second. Also, okay, this is an acting choice that I'm probably going to shout out later, but I think I know how they coordinated how to say that at the same time. Because there's like a little nod that Edwin does, yeah. And then they say it at the same time.
Yeah.
Anyways. The two of them smile at each other and confirm that they are both well. Cut to the two of them approaching the soccer field. Again, you said football earlier. I'm saying soccer because I was like,
did I say football?
I want to say foot. You did. You said football. Well, because Rosh says football, or the thing.
Huh.
Yeah. I was this coach is saying football pitch. I would not acknowledge that it is also that. probably more accurately that. But anyways,
definitely more accurately that.
Wilhelm asks Simon if he has always lived in Bjarstad. Simon says that he has, and Wilhelm asks if it is nice. Simon replies that it is okay, though there's not a lot to do. Everyone's doing the same things, and everyone knows everyone. He trails off, and Wilhelm responds that Simon's life sounds a lot like his own. Simon turns to ask if Villa is kidding when a younger girl is shoved forward by her friends towards the two of them. The girl yells out, "Hi, Prince." Wilhelm courteously says hi back, and the girl and her friends giggle and run away. Simon chuckles softly, amused by this, while Wilhelm has the tiniest grimace at this embarrassing refutation of his point that Simon's and his lives are the same.
God, I love this. My only thought would be, you know what? If I met him, that would probably be my response too. Hi, Prince. And I'm talking about the actor. I'm so in love with him. In the most asexual way possible, and mostly gender envy. God, I'm in love with him.
Anyways. Cut to the...
I kept it in clutch for... Like, I really kept myself reined in for the cycle for our first episode. Not anymore.
That was Margaret reined in, everybody.
Yeah, the first, what was it, 16 episodes?
13.
13 episodes was Margaret reined in. Get ready.
So.
Strap in.
Cut to Simon and Wilhelm walking towards the sidelines of the, walking along the sidelines of the field, or the pitch, towards Ayub. Simon greets his friend and introduces Wilhelm, which I didn't know exactly how to write this. Like, I can't describe Ayub's face. Or at least I couldn't when I was watching this. To his reaction to when he introduces Wilhelm. Because it's, like, real subtle, but it's something like, oh, this is the, this is one of the princes of my country. And then,
yeah.
And then just, like, deciding not to make a big deal of it because Simon isn't, or Simon's trying not to.
Yeah.
At least that's how I read it. After a subtle pause.
That's also how I read it.
Yeah. After a subtle pause, which is kind of the closest I got to kind of talking about that sort of little facial thing that Ayub does. Ayub shakes Villa's hand and introduces and introduces himself in turn to Wilhelm. Wilhelm tells Ayub to call him Villa and insists that it's nice to meet him, which just, I just, this is barely commentary, but I just want to acknowledge, like, I never really sat and thought about the fact that, like, the prince of your country is asking you to call him by his nickname.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, like, he hasn't even asked Simon to call him that yet. So it's just kind of like, I feel like this is kind of informally where, like, Simon also gets, is allowed to call him Villa.
Yeah.
Because
we haven't heard Simon call him Willa yet, have
no.
we?
No, I mean, he hasn't really called him by name at all. This far.
That's true.
So, like, we don't really know if he would at this point. But they've known each other for, like, less than a week. So.
Yeah.
Because I forgot. We actually, in this episode, have confirmation that he arrived on a Friday. So. That's correct. Yeah. Because that was your scene.
I think so.
Because yeah. that's what Felice asked him, right? Is like, how you what do you think of the party last Friday or something like that? Or is it?
Yeah. So at least his party was Friday.
Yeah.
We don't know when he arrived.
Well, I think they said tonight. I think they say. Do they say tonight or do? Now I'm always, we talked about it for 13 episodes, and I'm forgetting the timeline of the first episode.
When it has to, let's go with he arrived on Friday.
Well, wait, no, that doesn't make sense because Simon would have had to get the booze. Visit his dad, get the booze.
Oh, that's true. We don't know when he arrived.
Yeah. I don't know.
But he arrived sometime that week.
Yeah. So, max a week and a half. A week that they've known each other.
Yeah.
So. Where the fuck was I? Here it is. Holding two hot dogs, Ayub asked Simon and Wilhelm if they want some. Simon says, awkwardly and as if kind of a little self-consciously. I didn't really include that because I didn't know exactly. I didn't want to make this any longer, but it's like, again, really hard to define acting, but like very deliberate acting where it's like, I can just see in Simon's head in my, at least from my view, like that he feels a little embarrassed that he wouldn't be buying hot dogs himself and like that he would just be like pawing off his friends in front of the prince. I don't know, there was a weird bit of self-consciousness there that I feel like I read, which is odd considering Simon's characterization up to that point, but like it's like I feel like you can argue that it's kind of starting to show his like nervousness around Villa. And Simon says that he can get the hot dogs, but Wilhelm asserts that he will do it. Wilhelm clarifies that Simon wants ketchup and mustard, but Simon is seemingly bewildered by the follow-up question of whether or not he wants the hot dog boiled or grilled. Wilhelm chooses grilled for him, and Simon thanks him in a daze as Wilhelm just throws a hand and walks off.
Yeah. All right. So I have comments on the fact that was the prince and asked Simon what's going on there. Simon pretends like he has no idea what Ayub is talking about, and Ayub says, "I can see it, bro. You really like him." Simon shushes him and denies it. Aya makes fun of him for not being able to answer Willow when he asks about the food and says, "You really like him." Simon tells him to stop it and that Willow is coming back. Willow comes back with the food and tells Simon that there are no more grilled ones left. They all start cheering on Rosh, including Wilhelm, and Rosh dances on the field. Simon takes a video of Willow cheering on Rosh, and then we kind of cut to Willa and Simon riding on the backs of Rosh and Ayob's motorbikes. Willa and Simon reach out to hold hands, and they both just look really happy and free.
Iconic scene.
It really is.
Yes. And like they never fully hold hands, but it's like they're trying to the entire time. Cut to Wilhelm knocking on Alexander's window to be let in. On the way to his own room, Wilhelm then tries to pass by the living room unnoticed. Unfortunately, August is in the perfect spot to catch him. He calls after Villa, asking if it is educational. Villa reluctantly stops walking as he realizes he's been found out, and goes into the living room to face the music. Wilhelm apologizes, saying that he felt a bit better, and he thought it would be okay to hang out with some friends. August repeats his question of whether it was educational. Wilhelm asks what he's talking about, and August specifies that he's talking about the prince's, quote, socialist safari. August goes on, insisting that Wilhelm must know that as prefect, August can't let this slide, and as Wilhelm left school grounds without permission, and everyone needs permission. He gives Villa Alexander's dinner duty for the rest of the week. Wilhelm accepts this easily. August also suggests that Wilhelm apologizes, and Wilhelm does so hastily and a little bit quietly. August pretends not to have heard him, and Villa apologizes more firmly. August finally seems satisfied, but as Villa asks him if he can go, August gets up from his armchair and warns that Villa should be careful about the company he keeps, especially if they're using him to get some views. August holds up his phone to reveal Simon has posted the video he took of Villa on his Instagram story. August says that Villa knows what happened last time he was filmed, and he gives Villa a questioning look to see if the prince understands the gravity of the situation.
All right, so now we see Simon returning back home, and he puts his coat on to like coat hooks, and Sarah says, "You missed dinner." Simon responds with, "Yeah, I lost track of time," and Sarah questions how he lost track of time if he can just check his watch. Simon giggles and kind of ducks his head. All smiley, he says that he showed Willa around town, and Sarah questions Wilhelm. Simon says, "Yeah," and Sarah says, "You said it wasn't possible to be friends with any of those people," to which Simon says, "Yeah, but things change." And Sarah points out, isn't the point of the royal family that things don't change? Simon is kind of giddy and happy and giggly until he pulls out his phone to a text from Wilhelm asking that he delete the video of him from, I'm assuming it's like an Instagram story, and follows it up by one saying sorry. Then we cut to Wilhelm reading the etiquette book that was given to him when he first arrived at Hilarishka, the one that Eric threw at him, and has red lights around his neck.
Cut to Maddie waxing Felice's legs, asking if the wax is too hot. Felice tells her it is okay and insists that Maddie can speak Swedish with her. Maddie says that she knows, but she doesn't like to sound like an idiot. Felice complains it feels like August is trying to ruin her chances with Wilhelm, and Maddie is surprised that this is news. Maddie tells Felice to make a move on Wilhelm to show him what she wants, just before pulling wax off of Felice's armpit. Very short scene, but it... Yep.
Yeah. All right. So then, walking down the hallway, the headmaster catches August in the hallway and asks to talk to him. The headmaster asks August about the payment for the semester while August pretends that he doesn't know what's going on. She says, "It hasn't been paid and I can't get a hold of your mother." August says, "How strange," then follows it up with, "You know what? She's away." The headmaster takes this and says, "I thought that might be the case," and walks away as August says that he'll ask her to contact. He'll ask his mom to contact her. August is left standing in the hallway carrying weights. And the next shot is of Nils and Vincent playing some, like, it reminded me of Chicken. Do you know what that game is?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's literally what they are playing. It's if you are not familiar, I mean, you can watch the episode to see it, but it's basically where, is it, it's Vincent doing it to Nils, right? Where it,
yes.
Yeah, where Nils is up against the wall and Vincent is, like, pushing forward into the wall, basically threatening to kiss Nils. But then always stopping before he gets there.
I think his hands are, like, in front of his face. I think they're like this, and he gets, like, really close, and then his hands go on either side of Nils's head.
Yeah, like, Vincent has his hands together, and then he, like, leans forward and, like, almost kisses Nils, and then comes back. And then it's, like, yeah.
Yeah, and they do that, like, twice or something.
It's straight boy nonsense. Let's just, like, let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
I mean, it is very interesting straight boy nonsense for reasons, but, like, barely in the episode.
Yeah. And then it kind of followed by a montage of people on the school grounds, including August looking stressed, and he looks down at this tissue, and he kind of rolls a pill out of it that he breaks in half and takes half of it right in the middle of the school grounds when a teacher, like, just walked past and was like, "Hi, August."
Which, if anyone is keeping track, that means he now has half of an ADHD pill left. Cut to Simon navigating through the library, a book in hand, weaving between other students. He settles down at a table near an aisle where Sarah is browsing the stacks. Someone enters the aisle behind her, and she asks to get past to the other side of the aisle. This someone turns around and is revealed to be August. August studies Sarah for a moment before scoping out his surroundings. Deciding that the coast is clear, he walks over and leans in to whisper to Sarah, confirming that she has ADHD. He says that's cool, and says that he's going to be assessed for it. Sarah takes no interest in this, not even looking up from the book she has just pulled from the bookshelf. Meanwhile, Simon clocks that August is talking to his sister. August asks if Sarah is taking any medications, and Sarah says yes. He confirms this, and she proceeds to inform him that she takes Vyvanse, 50 milligrams. August claims that he knows this may seem weird, but asks to buy some of her pills. She replies confidently that doing so is illegal. In the background, Simon gets up from his chair. August agrees that, yes, it is illegal, and Sarah asks why would she do something illegal. August says that because Simon sorted out... Simon interrupts the conversation at this moment, insisting that he and August need to discuss the rowing team now. Sarah watches her brother walk away with August in tow, and Sarah is perplexed. Simon tells August he does not want him to talk to his sister. August says sorry, then immediately asks after Simon's, quote, contact who got him the alcohol for the initiation party and whether or not he is selling any ADHD pills. And Simon gives August an emphatic no, asking August who he thinks Simon is, and Simon insists he just wants his fucking money. August makes a counteroffer. Double what he owes, and Simon gets him some pills. Simon considers as August holds out a hand, telling him it's a good deal. August waves his hand insistently, and with noted reluctance, Simon takes it. They shake on it, and Simon has officially made his second deal with August.
All right, so now we see
the look that Margaret just gave me is just so fun.
What?
So you just were like, it felt like you were just glaring at August in that moment. Like your expression.
I didn't even realize. I just subconsciously hate him so much.
And then you did like a little eye roll too, I think.
I didn't even realize.
Like you were so in it that you were just like,
and then I have to talk about Mika, the other worst character in this show.
Yeah, this is the downer part of the episode.
I hate talking about Mika. The energy of our episodes go like through the
ground. Really, welcome to the other world.
Yeah. All right. So now we see Micah moving around his kitchen and says to Simon, why don't you bring Sarah next time? It would be nice to see you two together. Simon says that he doesn't think she's ready and then starts to play the keyboard. Micah asks if he wants to stay to jam, which Simon responds that he does, but the thing is he doesn't know how long he can stay. Micah asks him about the booze money, and Simon kind of is like, oh yeah, shoot, sorry, I forgot, type of thing, and says that it's on the way. And Micah says, surely he must have time for coffee, and walks over to the living room while Simon starts going through his cabinets and drawers after Micah leaves the room. Micah continues talking, and Simon absentmindedly is responding to his questions while he takes pills out of the drawer and kind of stuffs them into his pants. I think he puts them in his waistband, or maybe his pockets, but I think it's his waistband. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of where the scene ends.
Yeah. Cut to the gym where all of the prospective members of the rowing team, or the current members of the rowing team, it's really kind of unclear when they were all meant to be cut or not.
Yeah.
Because they all kind of just seem to make the team.
yeah.
Or the people who got cut are extras that we don't know the names of.
Yeah.
So, regardless, the team is working out, and Simon and August are next to each other at rowing machines. August blows his whistle and calls for everyone to rotate stations. Sweaty and out of breath, Simon pulls out his father's pills from inside his shorts, inside his waistband, and hands them to August. August curses and takes the pills from Simon as quickly as he can. Simon asks when he will be getting his money. August does not answer, but blows his whistle again and orders the team to gather around. August places a hand on Simon's shoulder and proceeds to speechify at the team about how Simon, as they know, is a non-boarder, a real Bjarstad guy. It is nothing to be ashamed of, as he's had to fight hard to get here. Probably a lot harder than any of the rest of them. And that's quite remarkable. The team stares at August, dumbfounded, as August asserts that they should learn from Simon. He fought his way up, and now he's here, among them, among the possibilities. As August speaks, we pan across the audience, August's audience, to Wilhelm, the only one on the team who is plainly amused by his speech. Villa catches Simon's eye briefly as August calls Simon an example of the class journey. They catch eyes. Wilhelm and Simon catch eyes again and smile at each other. Wilhelm gives Simon a look to share in his confusion when August grabs Simon by the back of the neck and kisses his forehead. I can't even get through this without laughing at this.
Because it's funny.
Wilhelm can't help but chortle. See episode 11 to learn what a chortle is, as Margaret did.
Yeah, and I don't remember. I'm going to look it up.
I will once again demonstrate.
Thank you. Oh, yeah.
It is also referred to, I believe, as suppressed laughter.
That's so much less fun than a chortle.
I know. It's so fun. I learned it in like 7th grade, and I've used it ever since. It was like a vocab word. And I want to hear
the word chortle in an accent.
I know.
Like somebody who has like a really thick British accent.
I mean, my friend doesn't have that thick of a British accent, but when you meet him,
can we ask him to say it?
He'll listen to this episode eventually, probably.
Well, can I just ask him right now?
Hey, send me a video of you saying the word chortle.
Hey, can you send a voice memo to the group chat of you saying the word chortle? I need it for research.
Oh, God. We need to keep going. Simon gives Villa another look of amused bewilderment before August dismisses everyone, as though his absurd speech has reached its natural conclusion. Like, he's like, what are you waiting for? Keep going. Because like, that was obviously the end of your speech. Regardless. Simon and Wilhelm pass each other as they walk to their next stations, and Wilhelm grins and whispers, what the fuck was that? Simon grins back and just shakes his head. Simon runs a hand through his own hair, having no idea how to process what just happened. Which bitch, same.
I've watched this episode, I said it before, I'll say it again, about 100 times. That scene still kills me every time. Because he says it with his whole chest.
I was just like eating lunch while just making my notes for this episode, and I was just like, oh my god, I'm gonna choke.
Are you gonna chortle? You know what that sounds like? I like tortles, but it's chortle.
It does have that same energy.
Okay, so now we see Linda driving up to Hillershka with Simon and Sarah, bringing them to the movie night, and tells them to let her know when they are ready to be picked up. Sarah is checking her hair and then quickly gets out of the car. Sarah gets right out while Simon stays to talk to his mother. After, Simon runs to catch up with Sarah and asks if she thinks it's weird that Felice invited him. And Sarah says that she actually thinks that Felice may like her, but she's not sure what to talk about besides Rousseau. Now we cut to them watching the movie. They're watching a horror movie. Actors running through the grass. You know, the thing. Simon and Willa are sitting next to each other. Most of the people are cuddled up with either a blanket or with friends. Willow and Simon are not. They're just sitting right next to each other, with Sarah on Simon's other side. August interrupts the movie, critiquing it, saying it's not scary during a jump scare, when Willow grabs for Simon. Some of the girls tell August to leave or shut up. This is followed by Willow putting his hand on his leg near Simon's leg and puts his pinky out to touch Simon's leg. Simon looks down at it and covers Willow's pinky and ring finger with his hand. They then look at each other. Simon is smiling while Willow looks like he is scared shitless. And Willow looks back at the movie and their hands tighten. Then Willow smiles at Simon, but then he catches Sarah looking at their hands, panics, and leaves the room.
I want to say, Willow does look scared, but I feel like he doesn't... I read it as his panic doesn't set in until he realizes Sarah has spotted them.
Yeah, but he just looks like he has no idea. Like, he just looks like he's scared by his own feelings, to me.
That's fair. I think, it's for me, I almost read it as he's excited, and then that excitement becomes terror the second he realizes he's being perceived.
That's valid. Yeah. I also get terror when I realize I'm being perceived.
That was so good.
Thank you.
Okay. Cut to Wilhelm rushing down a set of stairs, breathing deeply, in through his nose, out through his mouth. He bites his nails as he looks back at where he's run away from and looks forward to see a plaque with Hilarishka's school motto. You own the school. You are responsible for its legacy.
The perfect thing to see while having a panic attack.
Well, I think arguably it hasn't fully set in yet. He stares at the plaque, terrified and on the verge of tears. He rubs his chest and keeps breathing in an attempt to calm himself down. It's official. He's having a panic attack. I honestly think it's the plaque that gives him the panic attack, but you can really split hairs there. Cut to Willow running for a window, opening it frantically to let in the cool night air. He sits in the windowsill, huffing in and out as he continues to rub his chest. Meanwhile, we see Simon hesitantly walk down the hallway leading towards the window. Willow registers his presence and greets him with a simple hi, turning on the windowsill to fully face Simon. Simon keeps walking as he greets him back, stopping in front of Wilhelm. Simon asks Willa if he's okay. Wilhelm says he is, assuring Simon that he only left because it was getting hot in there and he just needed some fresh air. Now his toes are cramping up. They both softly laugh about this before Willa asks if Simon is okay. Simon says he's fine. A silence settles between them, both tense and intimate, and they are both breathing heavily. Buckle in, y'all. I got really English majory we got really creative writing with this.
I'm so ready. I haven't read this over because you warned me it was going to be good.
Simon looks up to stare straight at Willa. We have a close-up on his face as Simon gulps and quickly licks his lips. Wilhelm looks up to stare back, as we get a close-up of his face. Simon leans forward and kisses Wilhelm, a quick peck. When Simon pulls away and looks back down again, we see Wilhelm stunned. As Simon looks up, emotion wells up behind Villa's eyes. It's yearning. He wants to kiss again. The ghost of a smile passes across Simon's face as he goes back in and gives Villa what his eyes have confessed to wanting.
Damn!
This time, however, a yelp from the movie watchers far behind them startles Villa into breaking away out of the kiss before they've even kissed for like barely a second. The spell seems to be broken as Simon puts a hand to his mouth, questioning what the hell he just did. Villa clears his throat and faces the reality of what is happening. He fixes his hair nervously and tells Simon, I'm not. But as Simon turns away, utterly mortified, this last I'm not is cut off when Villa tells him to wait, grabbing at Simon's wrist. He pulls his hand away and laces his hands behind his neck, staring at the ground. He continues to say, I'm not, sorry, I'm not. Simon lets out a deep exhale. Wilhelm breaks out of his own head and reaches for Simon's overshirt. His purple overshirt.
The iconic.
His iconic purple overshirt. The prince pulls the other boy towards him, but stops halfway to him. But Wilhelm doesn't let go of the shirt. He just freezes halfway between pulling Simon all the way towards him. For a few moments, Simon doesn't seem to know what to do. Then Simon slowly walks forward, closer and closer to Villa. The two of them move their heads towards and away from each other, haltingly, as neither of them know how or if they should approach the other. Simon's forehead touches Villa's. They breathe through this for a short while before Villa makes the final move forward and kisses Simon. Simon kisses him back, and then they're just kissing each other over and over again. Cut to credits.
You bastard. You rat bastard.
Another utterly rude ending is what I wrote in my notes.
And you're right. It was rude.
They're in the middle of kissing. Like, I've never seen any show do that. Like...
I remember just being so upset when I watched this episode the first time. I was like, you motherfucker, are you serious? This is where we're cutting off?
I know.
I understand, Lisa. I get it. But that doesn't mean that I don't wish the scene kept going.
Like, in terms of creating a bingeable show, like...
What if we make a People Don't Talk About and it's just every show Lisa's ever written on? Has she written on other stuff? She must have.
She's written one other show, but I don't even know if we have access to it.
Yeah. We gotta watch that one as well.
Yeah. So I do want to keep up with the tradition. And last time we gave ourselves a little, what I called a little commentary as a treat after we finished our summary.
Yeah.
Is there anything you just want to say about this episode, just in general? We don't want to spoil any of the following discussion episodes, but thank you, listeners, who have decided to actually listen all the way through the summary of a show you've presumably already seen.
Real ones.
No shade to anyone who just skips this episode in the future. Like,
no shade. I get it.
You fully have permission. Like, you can just rewatch the episode. You have that power if you have Netflix. True. This is for us more than anything. And if you just want to hear our interpretation of certain scenes, go right ahead. Also, I do want to say, one or two people have reached out, appreciating these for picking out details that they haven't seen, which that's awesome. It's what we're here for. We have appointed ourselves analyzers of this TV show, and we take that role very seriously.
Amen.
As demonstrated by our corrections episode from probably the week previous to this coming out. But I was telling Margaret before we started recording, I love this episode. And I described it in ways that are actually a bit spoilery, so I won't go into it. But I just want to say I love it a lot.
And I agree.
It's just the ending makes it. Like, the entire episode is leading up to this ending, and it's just amazing. Like, it is everything I would have wanted from Wilmon's first kiss, but that's a topic for next episode.
I just love how last episode it was the pressure of his role was really weighing on Wilhelm, but this episode, he literally just got to be a teen for the entire thing.
Yeah.
I liked that. I liked to see that after last episode, him being in literal distress.
Yeah. There are little things, as we will discuss, where his princely role pops in. Like, it's like he suddenly stopped being prince overnight and in the next episode. But in, I definitely agree with the spirit of what you're saying. Like, it's just like it is a episode where Wilhelm lets himself go and actually immediately starts rebelling despite everything he was has been told in the previous episode.
Mm-hmm.
For Simon.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think he's just you could just say he's just really taking to heart what August said. Keep your friends close and keep your enemies closer.
Amen.
Kiss the enemies.
Hey, if that's the takeaway of the show, let that be the takeaway of the show. That was a Too Many Spirits by Watcher Entertainment reference. Shout out BuzzFeed Unsolved.
Even August really takes that to heart. I mean, he kisses Simon on the fucking forehead.
He does. He does kiss Simon on the forehead. That's true.
Do you think there's people out here who ship August and Simon?
I could look on AO3 and see if there's fanfic for it. I'll look after this.
Honestly, that it okay. Well, I mean, or is it worth adding like 2 more minutes to this episode?
I think it is. I'll look right now. My mic keeps falling off.
I mean, we haven't gotten to my max cutoff point, which is an hour and a half.
My AO3 is bookmarked. It'll only take me a second.
All we have is the outro left. It's all good.
Young Royals. The most chaotic ship. You know, not as a like relationship ship, but as friendship, Simon Erickson and Eric are a thing. But as like a just, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? August. Found it. There's 12.
Okay. That's both more and less than I was hoping for.
Me too, actually.
I don't even know what one I was looking for. But are they all romantic?
This one's called Seduced by the Socialist. It looks like they have a throuple. Wait, hang on.
Are they all throuples?
Oh, wait. No, he's keeping his royal cousin from being seduced by the socialist. Okay, wait. This one's a fuck, marry, kill game.
I just feel like, I know this fandom is just large enough. There has to be someone who is like really into
Simon and August.
Pardon what I'm about to say, but into Simon and August hate fucking.
Well, I'll keep checking on this and report back.
I don't know what that says about me that I'm questioning that. I think it just meant, I think it again clarifies that I am the allo one on this podcast.
I'm the one who reads fan fiction. What are you talking about?
I know. That's valid. That's also valid.
Since I was 13, baby.
Oh, all right. Anyways, so.
What is this episode?
After this, I mean, these are always our most polished episodes, which is a fucking joke.
Who's to say we've ever had a polished episode? Our first week one was.
Anyways. Yeah. Anyways, thank you for listening. If you'd like to keep up to date with when we release new episodes and other pod-related announcements, you can check out our Instagram at People Don't Talk About.
And our Twitter.
Our next episode will be... And our Twitter /RX. I'm trying to be respectful and use Twitter's new name.
It sounds like I'm looking at porn. I did that for class. I don't do it anyway. Recreationally.
I'm like... I might need to cut that unless you want to give context.
I'm a sexualities minor, or I was in college.
Yeah. And that was part of an assignment.
It was.
Anyways, our next episode, now that you've been through an entire cycle, I can just tell you it's going to be a revolution where we'll have a plot discussion focusing on the relationship between Wilhelm and Simon about season 1, episode 2. And with that, all that's left to say is...
Let's start a revolution, baby.